Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1. Proverbs 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father, we praise you for today and we thank you for the opportunity we have today to honor mothers in a special way, that we should honor them every day. I pray, Father, as we look into your word this morning, we would understand the gravity of what God intends for mothers to be. I pray, Father, that we would find ourselves with a richer reality of honoring not only our own mothers, but all mothers. Father, you command us to honor mothers, and you do so with a promise. Father, you put much weight into this, and I pray, oh Father, our minds would truly be fixated upon your word this morning, and really consider the words that are to be spoken. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we look into this this morning, there's a question that we should ask ourselves, and it's one I ask all the time. Do we believe God? Not only do we believe in God, the demons believe in God, but do we believe Him? Do we trust God? If we trust God, then we are obedient to His Word. We trust that what He says and His promises are true and that He will truly complete the work that He has begun in each one of us. But the only way we have any evidence at all that we really believe God and that we really trust God is by the way we live our lives in the face of God. And if we are going to live our lives appropriately in the face of God, then it means that we are obedient to His Word, that we are humble and submissive in every area that God tells us to be, because we have been humbled. We have been humiliated by Christ. We had no ability to save ourselves, and He had to come and do it for us. There was not one minute thing that we've ever done that has helped us to achieve salvation. For that matter, everything that we have ever done has dealt a blow in the opposite direction. If it was not for Christ, everything that we do each and every day would just be one more nail in the coffin of hell. So we ask that question this morning. Do we believe God? Do we trust God? Do we obey God? Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So we read that, and we could really play with this for a long time. What is being said here? Well, let's just let Paul explain it to us, okay? I think that's much easier. So in Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So the question restated, do we believe God? Do we trust God? And do we obey God? When you think about this and you look at this generation, as a matter of fact, in Proverbs 30:11, it says there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. I would say that's the generation we live in today. when we love our parents and we honor them, or when we honor someone else's mother, we do everything we can to take care of them. Now, we don't always have all the ability, but the sad part about it is the aged today are discarded as though they have no value whatsoever. They literally anymore put parents away into a basically a holding cell until they die. Again, I'm not saying that there are not times that we as loving children should make sure our parents are getting the right health care and taking care of all of their needs. But what happens so much is that we just discard them. I'm going to put them away here, a place for mom, because I really don't want to honor my parent. We could go through so many scriptures, even the New Testament, that talks about taking care of parents, loving them, honoring them. There is not an age cut off here in the Ten Commandments. It does not say honor your father and your mother until you reach the age of 18. We'll see more about that as we go through several other texts today. But the point being here in this introduction to what we're going to talk about today is the fact that if we believe God, if we believe Him, then we should trust what He says. That when we honor our father and our mother, it has a promise with it. That it will go well with us. That it will go well with us. And we will live long on the earth. Now, I want to be careful with this. I think there's much more to that than just saying it's an incantation. It's a absolute, I do this, I get this. Because the reality is it's a greater promise than that. It's a greater promise than that. It has to do with living. It has to do with being well. Well, there's no one that is more well than a believer. Someone who has greater hope than the hope of this world. Someone who can look to eternity as their long life. It's much more than that. But there's a promise here. So we have a very positive aspect of what this command can bring us. But we also know that the Scripture gives us many passages of Scriptures that tell us the very opposite. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. So now we have the negative aspect of it. And I've got a list of Psalms here that is 2 pages and about mothers and how they should be treated and revered. I'm not going to go through them all. But I would think that you would desire to know. I do want to clear something up, though, in the Psalms, because as I studied through this, I wanted to... Psalms 1:8, the first time it speaks of a mother, says, "My son, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." This is extremely interesting. I know some people take it, well, I just need to obey my mom. She's got her laws. Da, da, da. That's not what this is talking about. The word here literally has to do with the law of God. It has to do with the teaching, the proper teaching of a godly mother. So when a son or a daughter forsakes the law of their mother, it is referring to them forsaking the law that God has given to us and their mothers are teaching. I've said this many times that my children were raised under the Word of God. And I credit not my theological understanding, but the fact that my wife saw to it every day that they heard and went through the Word of God. By the time my kids graduate high school, they've pretty well gone through the entire Bible 18 times. That's my wife's doing. That's their mother who's done that. We'll see more examples of that later. So what is a mother? What is a mother? Well, according to King Lemuel, she is someone to be considered to have great wisdom. A personal counselor. Listen to his words. This is when we talk about Proverbs 31, we always think, oh, this is about women. In some ways it is. But these are the words of King Lemuel. Oh, but are they? This is the utterance which his mother taught him. The king says, listen to my mother. I'm a king, but I am going to listen to the wisdom that my mother taught me. Now, before we go any further with that, I want us to think about what's going on here. So first of all, what does Lemuel mean? It means literally for God or consecrated to God. Now, here's the interesting part about this is this king is not mentioned anywhere else. Not by this name anyway. This king is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. However, there's a very general sense and a consensus among biblicists that the person who's really being talked about here is Solomon. They believe, and again, there's speculation to this. There's no doubt about it. But it's reasonable for us to see it this way because, of course, it's the Proverbs, and we know who wrote the majority of the Proverbs. And so when we see this, we have this, like I said, it's a consensus, and it's been there for years and years, that they're speaking of Solomon. And they say that this is probably, for lack of a better term, a nickname that was given to Solomon by his mother. It's what his mother called him. You know how mothers are, right? They have their little pet names for their children a lot of the times. They call them some. My name, for example. I think it's a good illustration. My name that everyone calls me, Trace, is not on my birth certificate. It's not my name. My name is William Arthur Foote III. They call me Trace because I was the third. It was a nickname, and it stuck. As a matter of fact, how my mother did it, I do not know, but she actually had the name Trace printed on my Social Security card. Now, believe it or not, I've never had a problem with that. But it's amazing because that's not my legal name. How she did it back in the day, I don't know. But that's name that my mother gave me represented something about me. And so the same thing is happening here. And I will look at that when we look at verse 2. But the importance of what I want us to see just in this first verse is that the king, whoever it would actually be, and I do share much of this consensus, though it is still a speculation, and I would not stand here and try to fight for this, but when you look at the evidence, it does have that appearance that this is probably talking about Solomon. But this king, you talk about honoring a mother. This is the king, okay? This is not some pauper on the street. This is the king, and he is literally putting out to the kingdom. I'm going to write this down, and I'm going to credit my mother with this wisdom. How often do we hear that? From a man. How often do we hear that, especially from a man in the position of a king? The king says, I am going to teach you that which my mother has taught me. This wasn't hidden in his diary. This was what was given to the nation. Listen to these words, the utterances of my mother. This is what he's saying. And so when we think back to what we see in honoring your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you, this promise would have great consequence to a king. For he's the steward of that land. He governs it as God has appointed him. And if he's a wise king, he's going to look at this and say, well, if this is given to the nation as in a general sense for all people to follow, how much more as the king should I exalt this truth? The king has exalted his mom to the nation. Listen to my mother. She has great wisdom. If we look at verse 2, I'm not going to get into everything about trying to understand this. I'm just going to try to explain it. Because you can ask, well, what does this mean? What, my son? And what son of my womb? And what son of my vows? So, what does all that mean? Now, here's what it's saying. So, let me try to restate this. Basically, he is quoting his mom, probably in some sort of conversation. And she's basically saying to him, you are my son. Listen to me. I gave you birth. Hear my words. I gave a vow to God for you. It makes sense when we understand the whole of this proverb. And it really makes sense when we connect this to Solomon. Consider Bathsheba for a minute, her life. Boy, does she understand what happens when sin enters your life. The sin that she had with David. She lost a child. She lost a child. So we could have an assumption here that just like Hannah prayed diligently to have Samuel and vowed to God that if you will give me a son, I will consecrate him to you. So to the mother of Lemuel, who maybe Solomon, may have made this same vow. It makes sense when we understand the name, that this was the vow that she gave. And so she's crying and she's telling her son, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm your mother. I'm the one who gave you birth. And I made a vow before God about you. You have been consecrated to God. It's very important that we recognize, again, the whole point of what we're talking about is the honoring of a mother. The way that a king is exalting his mom before his nation. This is wonderful to see. And I know people do not pay much attention to this when they go through Psalm 31. And it's a shame because it gives us a better understanding of Psalm 31. And we're not going to go through all Psalm 31 today, so do not be afraid. We're not going to do that. I will talk about a few parts at the beginning, but we're not going to go through the whole thing. So we see the same thing happening in the New Testament. Paul exalts Timothy's mother and grandmother, literally crediting them with Timothy's understanding of God that led him to his salvation. Paul, who hated women, by the way, because you hear this a lot, Paul did not like women. Well, apparently, he sees the honor that mothers deserve. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as with without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. He's telling Timothy with an endearing heart how much he cares for him and prays for him, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. He could have stopped right there. He didn't have to go on. Paul could have said, I call to remembrance the generous faith, the genuine faith that is in you. He remembers Timothy as one who is faithful to the Word of God. He remembers Timothy as one faithful to the work that God has given him. But he goes on further. He gives the credit where the credit is due. Which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is now in you. Elsewhere he speaks to Timothy about where he learned. Hold fast to the faith that you have learned, knowing that you've learned it from those who are faithful. Speaking of his parents, speaking of his mom and his grandmother. The Paul who doesn't like women. He loves them and exalts them, gives them proper honor. So this isn't just something we find in a proverb that someone threw out there one day. And this is what we find in the New Testament. We find an example of this. Crediting the mother. And if we look through history, it is really amazing how some of the great men of faith that we hold very high in sharing from them their understanding of the Word of God, they were taught by their mothers. It makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, honestly, if we look at the way God has created men and women and what their God-given responsibilities are, it makes sense that the mother is going to be the primary teacher to the children. Which means they are teaching them. If they are a godly mother, they are teaching them the Word of God. They are feeding them the nourishment of God's truth. And in the end, delighting in the salvation of their children. So what is this wisdom Solomon's mother gave him? What is this wisdom? Just looking at a few things here, I want you to think about what is happening here. If this is Solomon, he needed this wisdom, didn't he? What's the first thing she says to him? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Boy, that rings true for Solomon, does it not? Now, I didn't go back to remind myself exactly of the numbers, but he had 900 wives and concubines. Yeah, and it brought him down. It did just what she said. And I have a tendency to believe that he wrote this more towards the end of his life than he did the beginning of his life. I think he was acknowledging my mother. My mom was right. It's amazing how when we get older, we look back and go, wow, I wish I'd have listened to my mom then. But when we're young, we think we know it all. I mean, if I was as smart now as I was when I was 18, man, it'd be amazing. But the older you get, the wiser you get because of the experiences, and you're able to teach through those experiences and share with people, and you're able to identify in young people. Well, they can either listen or they can experience the same folly that I experienced. That's the gift of God. And apparently the king understood this. I wished I'd have listened to my mom. Because just because you're the king does not mean you are immune to the deceit of sin. Consider that. He's the king. Oh, I'm the king. Who am I? We watch David fall, a man after God's own heart, fall because of the deceit of sin. Just because he's a king doesn't save you. Just because we, as children of God, are guaranteed glory and one day a glorified body, that has not yet been established in our lives, and we are very susceptible to the deceit of sin. And now we have this. Listen to your mom. And I mean, let's be honest about this. The whole aspect of Proverbs 31 is about a godly woman being taught to her son by a godly woman. I mean, let's be honest about it. Who knows the thoughts and intents of a woman more than a woman? I can stand here and I'll admit it right now. My wife said many things to me when I was younger. And I thought, well, whatever. But was she right? I didn't believe those things. No, that's not true about women. Boy, it's true about women. Well, why would I doubt that? Don't I think she would know that? Of course she knows that. She's a woman. She knows how women think. And so who better to instruct a son on what a godly woman is like than his godly mother? Think about it. Don't ignore the wisdom of a mother. It's very important. So that's what she says. First of all, don't give your strength to a woman. Don't let chasing women destroy you, because it destroys kings. I mean, we look at that in history. How many presidents have been destroyed because of women? How many kings around the world? How many leaders? Because they chase folly and do not honor God on proper relationships with women. Proverbs 31, 4 through 7 talks about not indulging in intoxicating drink. Do not become drunk. To drink, you pervert justice. You forget what the law is. Your responsibility is far beyond that of someone who's perishing, or someone who is bitter at heart, someone who lives in poverty. I mean, this is what she says. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink to forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. You're the king. This does not express who you are. You're the king. You're responsible to show justice. You're responsible to do good. As it says in verse 8 and 9, open your mouth for the speechless. In the cause of all who are appointed to die, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. When you are living a foolish life, this does not exist in your life. He's the king. He's responsible for a nation. He should be looking out for these people, not forgetting these people, not forgetting the justice, not forgetting the righteousness, not judging rightly. When you fall into these sins that his mother has now said, flee from these things, for they will destroy you. Mothers aren't always right. They're not. Fathers are not always right. God is always right. God says, honor your mother. God says, listen to her. God says, Listen to the wisdom, because this is the one thing I will tell you. A godly mother, though she may not always be right in her counsel, she always counsels you rightly. She counsels you with the idea of good for you. And you may not understand it, but the counsel is always good, or it's always for your good. Remember that. A mother does not. A godly mother, and I'm trying to make sure I'm distinguishing this, because we can look around the world and we can see very ungodly mothers and how they treat their children, and how they don't care about their children, and they make everything about them as though their children are their own slaves, instead of loving them and caring for them and building them up and growing them so that they can send them out to the world and glorify God in whatever they do. Listen to your mothers. You cannot honor your mother if you do not listen to her. And there is not an age cutoff. Some of the wisest mothers that exist are the ones that are in nursing homes right now. And no one's listening to them. They have wisdom. They've lived life. They can tell you, do this, honey, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen next. I've been there. I got the T-shirt. Don't ignore the wisdom of a mother. Now, to you women, to mothers who honor mothers, because this is important. Mothers are not to be in competition with mothers, but mothers are to honor mothers. And older mothers are to teach the younger mothers. And the younger mothers are to listen to the older mothers. And I'm not talking about just your own mom. I'm talking about mothers. They have wisdom. Now, I'm not going to get into detail on this passage because we're actually going to be going through it here before too long in Titus. Titus 2, 3 through 5. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Listen to what this says. The main point of this whole passage is that the word of God may not be blasphemed. There's a lot in here. There's a lot in here, and we will discuss it in great detail later. But the one thing we can get out of this, there's a few things I want to bring out real quick. First of all, for a mother, I mean, it's obvious that when we talk about older women here, it is directing us to mothers, because it's talking about loving your husband and loving your children. Well, an unmarried woman, a woman, isn't going to have a husband and child. So we are talking about women here that have had children and have a husband. And so younger mothers, which we have a few in this room, should seek out the wisdom of the older mothers in this room. Now, I want to emphasize something. Just because you're a mother doesn't make you a godly mother. Just because you're a mother doesn't make you a wise mother. Because a mother who is going to be able to teach others, to be able to teach younger mothers and women how to love God and how not to blaspheme the word of God, must first be learners themselves. And again, when we get into this, we'll go back to it. It has to do with learning from the elders. It has to do with learning from older women themselves. Humbly, submissively. This is, again, showing honor. So an older woman is to teach the younger women, and the younger women are to learn from the older women. Their experience and mature in these areas, qualifying them for the task. If you are not or have not been willing to learn from mature mothers, then you will not ever be qualified to teach other mothers. As Solomon showed reverence and honor to his mother by exalting her wisdom and humbly submitting himself to that wisdom, so too mothers should be with other mothers and revere God in the same way that the king glorified God by revering his mother. Now, how important is this in the eyes of Christ? There's two passages we're going to go over here. First one's in Matthew 15. And this is extremely important. Because I find it very interesting that this is the way that Christ goes with the dialogue that's happening here. So, in verse 1 he says, "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.'" There's what it all starts with. Now, as Christ always does, he takes people where he wants to take them. He just does. His method is amazing. "And he answered and said to them, 'Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions?'" That was kind of tough, wasn't it? How do you like that answer? That's a hard answer. What? You're telling me my traditions are disobeying the commandments of God? He makes it very clear. He says, what does this have to do with washing your hands? It has to do with the fact that Christ already expressed to them, you forsake the commandment of God for your own traditions. And he's going to express another one of those that is much more damning than someone not washing their hands. "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." Pretty serious. And that is what it tells us in the Old Testament. "But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me, it's a gift of God.'" What does he mean by that? Well, he's saying, instead of honoring your father and mother, instead of making sure that your father and mother are taken care of, you're going to say, "Everybody see how much money I'm putting into the pot today? See how much I'm giving to the synagogue today? I want people to see what I'm doing. I'm not going to honor the word of God by honoring my parents, by honoring my mother." Listen to the rest of this. It says, "But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'What profit you may have received from me,' it's a gift to God. Then you need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." You see, they had traditions about what they were to do and how they were to do it that had nothing to do with the commandment of God. And it literally made the commandment of God of no effect because of their traditions. Fathers and mothers needed the help of their sons and their daughters, and they were not there because the synagogue was saying, "No, you can't do that. You have to fill our pockets." That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Especially what he says next. "Hypocrites." You know, everyone talks about how gentle and kind Christ always was. Not if you were a Pharisee. Not if you were someone who said, I am going to proclaim God's word to you, and they are heretics, hypocrites, blasphemers of the word. He was harsh as all get out. I mean, if I stood up here and called you guys hypocrites, You guys wouldn't be very happy with me, would you? Well, that was mean. This isn't mean at all. He's literally telling you guys need to repent. But listen to what he says, you hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Wow. There's a bit of a prophecy going on here at the same time. Is that not what we see in so much of the church today? What would we see taught? We do not see the Word of God being taught. We see the traditions of men being taught. This is what's important. There's only one thing important. What does God say? Do we believe God? Do we trust God? If we do, then we obey God, not the traditions of men. This does not mean traditions aren't good, but traditions perish. Other than the traditions of Scripture, of course. The tradition of communion. It's a command. But it's also a tradition. So listen to this. He is accusing them of being hypocrites. He's accusing them of being of worshiping in vain. Why? Because they don't honor their mother and their father. That's pretty serious. I mean, it is one of the Ten Commandments. I mean, it is what all other commandments are built off of. It would make sense. How serious, how much more serious should we take the idea of honoring mothers? Not only today. Today is just something we've set aside to buy our mothers flowers and a card and maybe a really nice gift to express in a greater way what we should be expressing every day. Now let's think about Christ himself. How did he honor his earthly mother? Do we ever think about this? The King of Kings now. We're not talking about the king of a nation. We're talking about the mother of the king. Think about it. How did he treat his mother during the crucifixion? During that moment when he was about to surrender his human life for the sake of you and me. Why is this in here? How is this significant to what is happening? But here he is at that pinnacle moment. And what does he say? Now there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, John, standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her in to his home. One of the very last things that the Son of God did was honor his mother by making sure that she was provided for the rest of her life. By making somebody else responsible for her well-being, because he knew that he was no longer going to be there to provide those things in this world. At the pinnacle moment, when he was about to do the greatest thing in the history of mankind and surrender his life for the sin of undeserving men, he honors his mother. That is amazing. Christ himself must have considered the commandment to honor your mother and father as one of the greatest commandments that we should be doing. Of course, it falls into the greatest commandment, does it not? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think your mother falls into a neighbor, especially when we understand even the passage that was read this morning. Love your mother. Honor your mother. Do for her the things that the Word of God says. Because it's good for you. It's not just good for your mother, but it's what God promises is good for you. There's great reward in that honor. Jesus saw to it that his earthly mother was taken care of after his death. After his death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension into heaven, after the price was paid for our salvation, his mother was still taken care of. Therefore, we should honor our mothers as the King honored his mother. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father, we praise you today and thank you for your word, the way it illustrates to us so many magnificent realities. Father, we are but mere men, and we forsake your word continually. Help us, Father, to embrace the word that has been proclaimed today, that we would honor our mothers, not in our own opinion, but according to how your word tells us to, and looking at the examples that you have given. Father, we praise you this morning, and we thank you for this time. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.